This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
It's sort of like the way people think that you could talk to a dolphin and learn about the mysteries of the universe.
Dolphins are really smart.
Sure they are.
Eric, they are really smart. And kids are smart too. It's just that they're little.
No, they're not.
Yes.
They're little, but they're not smart.
They are smart.
And it's because they haven't been around very long. They haven't learned a lot of stuff.
Street smart, maybe, like you are, but...
Okay, here we go.
We're going?
We're recording a podcast.
All right, I'm fresh off the Peloton. We have exactly 1 hour before I have to pick up our son from school.
Mm-hmm.
And we are choosing to use this hour of our life to record a podcast.
Yeah.
Because we are sick people.
Pretty psyched to be here.
Are you?
Pretty into this.
You're not? I really hate when you start podcasts that way. Like, if you're not excited, why do you think our listeners are going to be excited?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Okay. Let's see. We wanted to record, I've been wanting to record an episode for a while because we just got through potty training and I thought that was one of the kind of like biggest, scariest milestones for us. And so it seemed like an important one to talk about on the podcast. We also recorded an episode several months ago and I can't remember what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't listened to the final episode and published it. So
yeah, we got one in the hopper.
We have one in the hopper and I'm sorry if any of this is repetitive because we don't remember what we talked about last time.
Are you hearing a beeping?
I am. I think there's a truck outside.
Okay. I thought maybe I was having an auditory hallucination.
Okay. I think the last one we did was about Binkies.
Yes. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't even know when that was. I think it was like when he turned two. So probably like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
We're really good at this podcasting thing. But you know what? We keep doing it because every time we do publish an episode, I get such good feedback from people that it's helpful and funny.
I'm so glad.
That they think Eric is so charming and such a helpful dad.
Hey, super helpful dad.
They're like, oh my God, he helped this week. That's so generous of him. What? You're so lucky. I can't remember if I already told this story on the show, but I was talking to one of my coworkers who had started listening to the podcast and he was like, you and Eric seem like you have such a great relationship. And I was like, what did we say that made you? That's not how I thought we talked about it on the show
totally,
at all.
Totally.
Very stable over here.
My left eye has been twitching for about 4 days.
Is there a reason why you keep interrupting with me? Are you trying to get out of this?
No.
Because we have a short amount of time here.
I just thought that maybe you might see it and think that something was happening to me. So
you
just
always are making some weird face or doing something. Where are you going? He's getting up and leaving the table. You're putting sunglasses on.
Yeah.
We've also both been exercising. So you are looking.
Oh, thanks.
Looking good these days.
Whew, it's getting hot in here.
Okay. So before we talk about potty training, I think what's important context for people to understand is that our sweet little angel baby son is a total asshole now.
Yeah.
Just unbelievably.
Yeah. We had the experience of, you know, everybody talks about the terrible twos and we have some friends who have kids who are, you know, 6 months older or a year older than him. And they're just like, buckle up. And we're just like,
our baby is better than your baby. We're going to be fine.
Perfect. He is a genius. He has emotional intelligence that your child clearly has not developed yet. And then one day the terrible twos hit and now he's a little dick.
Yep. You know what's so funny? I was talking to somebody the other day who has a kid who's a little older and I was like, oh God, the terrible twos. And she was like, honestly, three is worse. And I was like, why would you fucking say that to me?
I'm out.
And I, you know, it's like when you have a baby and people are like, you think newborn is hard. Wait till you get to the terrible twos. Like, I get it. Because I now have the same thing where when people I know have a baby, I'm like, please cherish this time because you don't know how good you have it. It's going to get so much worse.
Yeah.
And so I understand why people from the future are trying to warn me.
Yeah.
But it's very depressing because we're in a pretty rough spot right now.
Yeah. When you bring that baby home, that's as easy as it gets.
It's just a little lump who sleeps all day.
Yeah.
And it's cute. It doesn't need anything. What I was thinking about the other day is like having a newborn is really hard because you're not sleeping primarily. Like that's the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
But at least when you're like waking up in the middle of the night or you're like tired all day, it's like when you're helping this little creature, you're like, oh, you're just an innocent little baby and you need me and you love me. It's like, it's worth it. And I think we even talked about that on the show when we talked about having a newborn where it's like, like, you just do it because this little creature needs you. And there's no kind of like, that baby isn't like taking revenge on you.
Yeah.
And then when you have a 2-year-old, you're like, oh, like you even said to me the other day, you were like, what did you say about Benny? And you were like, he's like trying to take control of the situation, or like he's like trying to win or something.
No, I said he's just sort of trying to exert control in every situation.
But it's like, it feels
I wasn't saying that as like,
no, I know, but I think
he's malicious, but
I know. And I know he's not. And I think that's important to note the difference, but it's hard for not to feel that way in those interactions.
Right.
Where you're like, why are you screaming at me right now when I just gave you a cupcake? Like, why are you mad?
Or why are you arbitrarily like
opposed everything is so random.
Everything.
Well, you've been struggling. I was away for work a few days and you were struggling in the mornings because he was like, wouldn't let you turn any lights on. So you guys were just sitting in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, usually he loves a banana in the morning. You try to hand him a banana and he starts screaming like you're killing him.
Yeah. And then,
and you're like, okay, don't eat the banana. And he's like, no, I want the banana. And you're like, what do you need?
And he won't get into the car. And
we're out of the car.
We're out of the car.
He doesn't want to go to school, but he also doesn't want to leave school.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to wear shoes on, but he doesn't want his feet to touch anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole thing. And I know this sounds sort of like, ah, cute. He's a 2-year-old. He's like pushing boundaries. It's really not cute.
Yeah. It sounds cute when we talk about it, but it is not cute when he's refusing to get into his car seat and I'm standing in the middle of the parking lot at the post office crying and we're a half hour late for
school.
I had tears in my eyes. I was just like so on the verge of a mental breakdown. Mm. I was like doing that thing with my head in my hands, you know?
Yeah.
Pushing my hair back like Jack Nicholson. Mm. Like
your standard pose. Yeah. So we've been having a tough time with him and we've talked about how this is especially tough for you. Like I think we're both in therapy. We're figuring out how to be better ourselves. And something you especially struggle with is like people not listening to you.
Yes.
Is really a trigger for you.
Yes. And so I am what you might call a rageaholic.
Yeah.
No, it's not really that.
Yeah, because you don't enjoy it.
It's more like...
You just have... you just...
When someone doesn't listen to me, and I don't mean not listen to me as in, hey, I'm telling you to do something, do it. I mean, when I speak...
And it feels like they don't hear you.
And it feels like they don't hear me. It sends me into a total existential tailspin. Mm-hmm. And it kind of triggers some fight or flight in me. And I want to get out of the situation
and
as fast as
possible. Working on that. But, you know, and I think like you used to give me that feedback where like when I was ignoring you, I didn't understand why that made you so upset. And now I make a point of saying, hey, can you hold on a sec so I can like focus on what you're saying? A 2-year-old does not care.
I know.
He doesn't care or understand. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that he wants to trigger you and make you angry. But I think he's just in that phase. Like I was talking to his teacher the other day about this drop off and pickup situation. Cause it's like tantrums. By the way, he did cry when I dropped him off today.
Yeah.
And I just left him there.
Yeah.
But, she confirmed like it's totally developmentally appropriate. This is normal. That doesn't mean it sucks any less. And I know it's not super helpful when I give you advice in those situations, but I have read a series of toddler books.
Yes.
You might want to read one.
Okay.
If you're struggling.
I have my own theory. Kids are stupid and they don't know anything.
Okay.
You try to apply logic to what they're doing, you're stupid too because they do not operate under any framework of logic.
I think this is what you've been struggling with because I think you're trying to talk to him like a human being.
Yeah.
Like he's on your level.
Yeah.
And he's like, bleh, 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 like jumping around and hitting his head on things.
He's
and
literally
like,
running around the house going ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Thing, yeah. And you're like, hey, buddy, listen to me. And he's like, ding dong. Like you just can't.
But I think a lot of the advice that you encounter or at least some of the stuff that I see on Instagram for 3 seconds at a time is like trying to tap into this like innate wisdom that a child has that we only need to like, it's sort of like the way people think that you could talk to a dolphin and learn about the mysteries of the universe.
Dolphins are really smart.
Sure they are.
Eric, they are really smart. And kids are smart too. It's just that they're little.
No, they're not.
Yes.
They're little, but they're not smart.
They are smart.
And it's because they haven't been around very long. They haven't learned
a
lot of stuff.
They're not street smart maybe, like you are, but but they are capable. I think I've been impressed at this age with like, he is capable of understanding much more than I would expect in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
And I do think he's still like, when he's not in one of those moments, he's still a very like empathetic, giving kid.
Sure.
And he is smart. He's like saying full sentences and he can, you know,
yeah.
he's smart. He is.
Definitely.
He can do more than I would have thought a 2-year-old can do.
Yes.
So it's less that he's stupid and more that he's
I'm obviously being silly by saying that kids are stupid, but I do think that kids just don't know anything. And so part of the learning process is they encounter new feelings,
and they don't know how to handle them.
Boundaries, they encounter these things without encountering consequence. So it's like they're just pushing at things experimenting.
There does need to be consequence. Like it can't be that he takes half an hour to get into the car, because if he knows he can do that, he's going to do that every time.
Right.
His whole existence right now is testing those limits and trying to understand how he fits into the world and what's okay and what's not.
Yeah. And the consequence is that his dad then drives to school like Chris Farley driving a bus in Billy Madison, white knuckling the steering wheel.
And that discussed, that is not the lesson I would like him to learn. I want him to understand that when an adult says it's time to get in the car, that's what has to happen. And we've been talking about there's ways to help him with those transitions. So like, I think timers have been working really well, giving him a heads up about what's going to happen next. Cause he really hates being like interrupted mid thing and then forced to do something.
Yeah.
He hates when he's having fun and then the fun is over. So there's ways to like help them with that.
I feel that.
And I've been doing the thing where like, I try to make, if he's saying no to something like he did a bunch of times to me this morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, it's the whole, I think we've given this advice here before, but like that one book I read, one of the toddler books, it's like the best thing you can do in the face of this is make things fun. So just like be silly, have their shoes, talk to them, make a funny face, do a funny voice, start running in circles for no reason. Like that does really seem to like reset him.
Yeah.
Cause I think the point is like, there's no logic in that morning. It's not actually about not wanting to put shoes on or go to school or whatever. So it's like, I think it's almost better to like, you can acknowledge the feeling they're having, but try not to engage on the specific thing they're pushing back on. Cause that's just more frustrating for him.
Yeah,
it's not actually what he means. Okay. So that's that. Anything else you want to say about what a little jerky is?
No, I mean, what I will say is that, the jerkiness is, commensurate to his intelligence too. Like it's kind of been amazing to see he didn't go to daycare over the summer. And like, even his teachers, when we came back, were like, oh my God, he's talking so much more. He's so much bigger. He's just like a full grown kid now.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's not all bad. Mm-hmm. He does surprise me with things that he says and things that
I would say, I feel like it's unbearable about 10% of the
75%
time. 75%. No, 15.
60.
No, a minimum, I would say. And I think the rest of the time, it's like he's playing independently. We take him on little adventures and we have fun.
Yeah.
He started like reading to himself. He's like, he weirdly like knows most of the letters. I don't even know. I don't remember teaching him that. So I think it's still mostly good.
Yeah.
And I think we've been lucky at least through this where like he's in school. We've got a great babysitter. Like we're feeling at least, I think the stability has been really helping where at least we know there's moments like this where he's at school and we're alone and we have some peace.
Yes. It's glorious.
I think it's also worth like part of our theory is that some of this is coming from, there were so many transitions for him at the same time.
Yeah.
So like I was home with him all summer and then I had to go back to work and he just went through potty training and he went back to school and he's in a different class with kids he doesn't know. So I do think that seems to be probably the answer to most of this.
Yeah.
So it's, I get it, but it doesn't make it any less annoying.
Yeah, I think so. Transitions are tough for any kid, but I think especially when you're like at that, you know, he's at that stage, it seems like, where just, you know, his brain is like a sponge and he's just forming new neural pathways every moment, every day. Yeah. But it's like all the time. But the problem is, you know, I think it maybe makes him a little emotionally fragile at times.
Totally. Yeah. Just like
me,
you are sometimes emotionally fragile when you're going through transitions.
Like I am right now.
No, you're not. Eric, I did want to ask maybe while you're talking about your emotional fragility.
Oh, please.
Our listeners keep asking me where we have landed on the second kid thing. Oh, it is spooky season. Well, this will probably get published in 6 months. So
yeah. Well, I guess where I've landed is, can it really get worse than it is right now?
I don't think it can.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, it's like I said, in for a penny, in for a pound. The transition from no kid to a kid.
Life ruining.
Horrible. Just absolutely, you're done. It's hang it up.
Again, not for everyone. This was our and mostly Eric's experience, but.
Oh, I thought you were saying that having a kid is not for everyone. And
we have since learned that not everyone's life is ruined when they have a child. Yours was, for sure.
100%. Cannot even imagine.
Can't even remember what your life was like.
Yeah.
But that's the point. So we might as well have a second one.
Yeah. And it's like, once we're here, well, what the hell do I care? You know, can't shove the first one back in. So I guess we may as well crank another one out.
He's also like as big as me at this point. So I don't think we'd have to shove him inside you if you wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Like your carcass is the only one big enough.
I can't end up more broken than I am, is what I'm saying. You know?
Yeah. So you're not really saying it, but we are planning to try to have a second kid.
Yep.
You really have a hard time saying it out loud, I think.
I really do.
Let's practice. Eric, what are you guys thinking about? Are you going to have a second kid? Is Benny going to have a sibling?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Say the full sentence.
I think so. Benny is going to have a sibling.
Well, we don't know yet.
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
I'm not pregnant. But we do, like I think we've talked about, yeah, because we talked about IVF and everything. Like, we have a few embryos hanging out.
Yeah.
We're going to try with those. And we'll see what happens. And if it doesn't happen, that's okay.
Yep.
And if it does happen, Eric's having a second child.
But you did say that if we have another child, I can get another motorcycle.
That was a joke, to be clear.
Well...
Is that why you agreed
then
to it?
There is a serious renegotiation that needs to take place.
Do our listeners know that you got a second motorcycle?
I don't know.
Do you see the issue that you talk about how your life is ruined and you have nothing to live for, and then you're like, I have two motorcycles. I don't have a job.
I am a deadbeat.
I'm not saying you're a deadbeat, but you should be happy. Just because you have a child doesn't mean you can't enjoy the other things.
Deadbeats are never happy. They're just, you know, they're just rambling with a chip on their shoulder.
I see.
And
you're a like what's the word? Like no matter what, you'll always be a deadbeat. Like at heart. What's the word for that?
Incorrigible.
Incorrigible deadbeat.
Irascible.
Oh, you're not a deadbeat. I do think it's probably funny for our listeners to hear you go from my life is ruined, I hate everything, this is terrible, and then you're like, my wife said she would buy me a third motorcycle. It's just a little.
Yeah. Listen, you know, it's all about perspective.
Okay. Should we talk about potty training?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so similar to the pacifier.
It's been going okay for me. I've only had two accidents this morning.
Haha. What a unique and special joke. I feel like every dad tells that joke. It's so annoying. We like the pacifier thing. We tried to keep Eric out of it as much as possible.
Appreciate it.
So with the pacifiers, we left Benny at my parents' house. They just dealt with it somehow. And then he came back and was done with pacifiers.
Yeah.
With this one, I wasn't really willing to hand off potty training because I had been reading books about it and I had a specific way I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Also, I think that would have been a lot to put on my parents. But what we did do is I sent Eric off on a week-long spirit quest.
I left on my motorcycle for a week.
Yeah.
While everybody else potty trained my kid.
My parents came and stayed with me and we potty trained our son. I think it was the right thing to do because I feel like in those moments where it's like, I'm trying to follow things by the book. Like, I know how annoying that is for you.
Yeah.
I was off work. Like this was one of the things I wanted to accomplish while I was off work. So I was okay with taking that on. And I think it was really good that it gave us both the space. Like, you got to kind of get some time away and then come back to, like, you know, mostly potty train.
I got to go see Niagara Falls.
Yeah. And I got to do it how I wanted to do it. And I do frankly think we would have probably been fighting the whole time if we had tried to do it together. So.
Guaranteed.
Maybe 100%. This is the secret to our marriage is, like, rather than trying to fix all our problems, we should just spend less time together. We should just, when there's something hard in life, we should just get as far away from each other as possible.
I think many people before us have found that to be.
I know. Anytime we talk to older people and they're like, oh yeah, my spouse and I live in two different houses. We're like, interesting. That sounds really nice.
Yeah.
Or like an apartment where you each have a different floor.
We should have two houses.
Right next to each other though, so you can still help me with spiders and
with
things.
With a woodshed in the middle where we meet for conjugal visits.
In the woodshed?
Yeah.
Why is that your fantasy?
Well, it's like neutral territory.
A woodshed is neutral territory? That sounds like Eric territory to me.
It doesn't have to be a woodshed. It could be a dumpster. It could be a...
A dumpster? You're naming things that you like.
Tiny house.
It could be a little princess castle. That would be neutral for everybody. A
little princess castle in between the two houses.
Oh, a little like hobbit hut thing.
Hobbit
built into a hillside.
Yeah. That's the perfect marriage right there.
Yeah,
that's two separate houses. You're not allowed in each other's house.
No, you have to come in. You have to cook me dinner. You have to get spiders. You have to fix things.
No. Yeah. I'll order takeout for you and I will send Bobby Bugs over.
Okay, deal. That's our... Oh, this episode, by the way, is sponsored by Bobby Bugs.
Yes.
If you live in the Catskill region and you have a bug problem, you want to call Bobby Bugs.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He will drop everything in a moment's notice to come over and handle things, and he'll pet your dog.
He's the guy. Thanks, Bobby Bugs, for sponsoring this episode of our podcast. To be clear, every sponsor we've ever had on this podcast has been a joke. Except for last episode, I think we did do sponsored by Price Wood Shop.
Oh, that's true.
That's a real one.
Ongoing sponsor, Price Wood Shop.
Okay, so how did we do it?
The potty training?
Yeah.
We just had him drop trow and run around the house with no
pants. I'm going to explain it because you weren't even here and you didn't read the book.
Okay. I went to see Niagara Falls. That's
okay. Step one, send your husband out of the house.
Yeah.
Okay. So I read the book, Oh Crap, which is the one that everyone recommends. And it was great. I think it is like the thing to follow. But my favorite part was did you ever read that? The chapter for dads?
Mm-mm.
Yes, you did. I think I handed it to you and watched you while you read it. It was like 2 pages, Eric.
Maybe. I'm not sure I remember it.
Well, this is kind of the point, is she has, it's written by a woman, and she has a very short chapter, which is like for cheat sheet for dads. And she's like, look, I get in trouble for including this in the book because there are some dads who are very involved and they find they're offended by the idea that dads wouldn't be the ones involved in or driving potty training.
Yeah.
And she said, if you're one of those dads, that's amazing. Good for you. You are, that is great. 99% of dads are not the ones doing this. And so she has, it's literally 2 pages, Eric.
Yeah.
It's just bullets. And it's just like, hey dad, so your wife is gearing up to handle potty training. Here's how you can help. Try not to stress your wife out. Here are the 5 simple rules you need to remember.
Leave.
No, but it's like, you know, like she goes through all the things and she's like, you know, one of them is like, don't ask if they have to pee. Just say it's time to pee, which by the way, you still ask him if he has to pee. You never even helped me with that. But I just thought that it was so dead on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was so grateful because I was like, she clearly is an expert, not just at potty training, but at like the family dynamics,
the human condition,
the human condition, the female condition, you might even say.
Yeah.
Clearly that did not help you reading those 2 pages, even though I made you read them. But basically the idea is you take a long weekend. So like at least 3 days, if you can't, and she's like, literally, yes, that means you have to take a day off work. That means you can't travel for a little bit. Like you do have to kind of like adjust your life around this.
Yeah.
And I think just like with having a baby, that idea was really repulsive to me where I was like, I can't just spend weeks of my life potty training this child. But in retrospect, it's like, it did go relatively quickly. I think that us being all in for the first few days really did make a big difference.
Yeah.
But it's like the whole time you're reading the book or that I was, it's like, I kept being like, okay, I'm going to do like half of this, but this sounds too hard. I'm not really going to do this. And it's like, right when I would have that thought, she would say, I know what you're thinking right now. You're not going to go all in. And then she has a bunch of examples where she's like, this parent tried to not do that part. Here's what happened. This one didn't do it. And then she's been potty training for 4 years, you know? So it's like, she's really good at, she knew exactly what my mindset was and like the things I would push back on. So it felt like we had hired an expert to help me with it. Like it felt personalized, even though it was a book.
So there's people who potty train for 4 years.
So this is the reason why her advice is that you should potty train between 20 and 30 months.
Yeah.
And Benny is what? He's got to be, he's just like turned 2.5.
30 months.
What's 12 plus 6? What's 24 plus 6
is 30. 30.
Thank you. Not street smart or book smart. So he's 30 months. So that's why I wanted to do it, whatever this was, 2 months ago. Cause I was like it was like a month ago. Cause I was like, we are close to the end of that window. And what she says is, it's not like you can't do potty training after that. Like there's not some magic thing that happens. But she said what happens right around 30 months is this asshole behavior. So she's like, they're gonna
I see.
And obviously for him, it started a little earlier, but I do think that just happened for him. Like the last few weeks. So I think we got in right at the end of that. But so she says, if you're trying to potty train a 3-year-old, for example, it's going to take you like a year because they're going to fight it. They're going to develop like a fear of the potty. They're going to be mad at you. They're going to poop their pants to spite you, like all this stuff.
Right.
And so I think with him, he really was ready. Like he was like telling us when he peed or pooped in his diaper.
Yeah, and
he
was expressing curiosity mm-hmm. after seeing kids in his class using the potty and stuff. So he was
flushing the potty for us. Like all that stuff. So it like what she says in the book, a lot of people feel like 20 months, for example, is too young. I probably wouldn't do it at 20 months, but she's like, I guarantee you like 90% of 20 month olds, which is what? a year and a half, a little older,
yeah,
are ready. And she said, there's all these different signs that you can use to figure out if your kid is ready. And it's like, are they aware of it? Can they tell you when they peed and pooped? Are they starting to not enjoy having dirty diapers? Are they like helping you with other things around the house? Like all of those things are indications that they're like, they have enough, I don't know, like bodily control and awareness that they're ready to do it.
Yeah.
And she said, the younger you do it, the easier it is. So I think after having done it, it feels like that was absolutely true, that that was the window. And like, probably we could have done it younger if we wanted to.
Yeah, I think so too.
So we had him run around naked for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. I think we actually had him naked for longer than you have to, because my mom was here. My mom was like, why would you ever put pants on him again? It's fine. my mom, by the way, like mostly stuck to the rules, but I did have to have a conversation with her where I was like, you know, we sometimes have slightly different opinions. She thinks sometimes I'm too like anal about parenting things. And she's one of those moms who's like, nah, you learned potty training. Like it wasn't a huge deal. I didn't have to do this whole big thing. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going to do the whole big thing. Okay. That's what's going to make me comfortable. And I get why that's irritating as my mom to have to sit through that. But to her credit, I think she heard me. She tried really hard to like be consistent and do the things that I wanted.
Yeah.
And I think they were very like, even though they didn't follow everything to the letter, that's okay. And they were at least like, they were here, they were helpful, they were like trying really hard. And it was so fun like having them here for this, because every time he successfully peed or pooped in the potty, all of us were like, oh my God, he did it. It was like a really fun part. We were like texting you pictures of poop in the potty, which I never thought I would do, but I was really excited about it. So he ran around naked for a few days, and basically the short version is, the way that this works is, the first stage is you're just trying to figure out what their cues are. So they're naked because like at the beginning, they're just going to sort of like pee and poop all over the place. And it's like, your job is to watch them very closely.
Yeah.
Notice when they start peeing and be like, oh, okay, you started peeing, I'm going to bring you over to your potty and you're going to finish doing it here. But what you're trying to do is start to notice what the signals are before they start peeing. So you can catch it and say, oh, I think it's time to pee, let's go do it. So you do that. You also use transition moments. So like before and after sleeping, before leaving the house, that sort of thing. And I think he really like, he took to it very quickly. Like, I think he was so excited and like didn't really question it at all. And he was just like, oh, cool. Like one of the things they do is the reward is that you get to like dump your pee or poop from the little potty into the big potty. And he was so into that.
Yeah.
I don't really understand why, but he was.
Yeah. I mean, I think he really, I'm sure all kids are like this, but he really seems to relish any form of responsibility.
Totally.
So it's like he gets that.
And I think
that.
That's why it's the perfect age.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we did that for a little bit. She has a thing in there. Like her suggestion is that you do tackle nighttime diapers at the same time. I am terrified of that and not really in any rush to do that.
Yeah.
I do think for what it's worth. So he's still wearing diapers at night and for naps, but like 9 out of 10 times his diaper is totally dry even after all night. So I don't know exactly when the right moment is for us to do that. I guess I should go back to the book and see what she says, but her suggestion for doing diapers at night at the same time is, I don't know if I even told you this, is like you have to set an alarm and wake up 3 times a night, wake your child up, get them out of bed, sit them on the potty. And I was like,
that's gonna be
rough. Would rather die.
Yeah.
I would never, there's nothing that could make me wake him up during the night.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's real. I know you're thinking you don't want to wait, but like when they're at this age, it's like, they're just going to go right back to sleep afterwards. It's not a big deal. And the reason she suggests that is, depending on how young you start with, they physically can't hold it all night.
Right.
So it's like, you can't say to them, you don't have a diaper anymore and you have to hold it till the morning. You have to like help them do that. And then you can kind of extend the periods until you're not waking up. Mm. But I think he clearly physically can hold it all night.
Seems like it.
So yeah, I'm just not worried about it.
Poop himself awake. Recently.
There's been, we just did this, whatever it was, 4 to 6 weeks ago. And I think he's like, he seems like 99% potty trained to me. Like he has not had accidents in a couple weeks. Like I can't remember last time he had an accident while he was awake.
Yeah.
And then at night, like this morning he woke up with a little pee in his diaper, but that actually was pretty out of the ordinary. Like I feel like the last couple weeks he's been really holding it. So
yeah, I agree.
I feel like he's potty trained. And then once you're doing that, then the next stage is you put pants on, no kid underwear. Cause she says the underwear feels too similar to a diaper.
Mm.
So you just go pants. And she's like, yes, it's going to be gross when they have an accident, but that helps them learn. Like they don't want to have that feeling. That's going to help motivate them.
And do you want to talk about that time when he had
I'm going to.
Really bad.
Yes. So I was feeling very confident because he was doing a great job. And this was maybe a couple weeks or something. It was pretty fresh.
Yeah.
And what she recommends is in the book is like, you know, day three or four, you're putting pants on them and you're taking them for like little 5 minute trips. So it's like run to the grocery store, get one thing, come back home, see how it goes. Like, you know, sort of working your way up to just being out of the house without a diaper on. And we had mostly been like just still putting an emergency diaper on him when we left the house. And I don't know why, like you were out of town or something. I was here alone with him and I was feeling very confident. And we had been like running around all day without a diaper. He was using the big boy potty. Like I felt like he was good. And so he and I went to the grocery store. It's 5 minutes from our house and we were getting like four items. It was not like a big grocery store run. So I really thought we were going to be in and out. And he had been doing this thing where he would like tell us that he had to poop and then he would go sit on his potty for like hours and not do anything. And then he'd be like, never mind. I think he had trouble distinguishing poop from, he calls them toots. And so I think for a while he would be like, he thought it was poop when it wasn't. And so we went to the grocery store right when we walk in and he's wearing, it's hot out. So he's just wearing like little tiny shorts and no, like really, he likes very tiny shorts.
Yeah.
So he was wearing little tiny, like loose shorts. And right when we got to the grocery store, he started telling me he has to pee. And I'm like, oh, great. Thanks so much for telling me. I leave the cart. I pick him up. I go to the grocery store bathroom. And by the way, I was feeling so confident. I didn't even bring our bag inside. I was just like, we're just running in. You're good. And this was the first time he had ever sat on the big boy potty. But I was like, we just don't have a choice. Like, I'm not going to make it back to the car where your little one is. So we went into the grocery store bathroom, which luckily is mostly pretty clean where we live. And we went in and I said, okay, I'm going to just hold you up on the big boy potty. You're going to have to just pee here. And I held him up there. He sat on the potty and he peed. And I was like, holy shit. Like, you just did it. You told me you had to pee. You sat on the big boy potty. You flushed it yourself. You didn't get pee all over the place. It was amazing. So we were like celebrating. We were like both cheering. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. And then we're walking around the store and he goes, I have to poop. And I'm like, okay, do you really have to poop or not? And he's like, yes, I have to poop. So I'm like, okay, I leave the cart again. We're now further away from the bathroom. I just abandon the cart, pick him up, run back to the bathroom, do the same thing where I sit him on the big boy potty and the fucking auto flush thing comes up and like splashes him and scares him. So he gets scared and he's like, never mind, I don't have to poop. And I'm like, it's fine. That was just like, you know, I tried to be like, oh, didn't that feel nice on your butt? You know, sort of thing. And he was like, no, never mind. I don't have to poop. And I was like, okay. And at this point, I'm still like, he has not pooped in less than 2 hours in weeks. Like, I'm just very confident it's going to take forever before he actually poops.
Yeah.
So we go back to the cart, we finish our shopping. And while we're shopping, he keeps sort of being like, mom, I have to poop. And I'm like, okay, do you want to go back to the bathroom? And he's like, no. And I'm like, do you want to run to the, I'm like offering all these things. Like we can go to the car, whatever you need. And he keeps going back and forth between like, I have to poop and I don't. And I'm like, okay, so it's just like, you're fine. And I'm like, let's just buy these groceries. We'll leave. We'll be home in 5 minutes. You can poop there. It'll be fine. So we're checking out and he's standing on the back of the cart, like holding on, you know, like riding it. And we're like, I've loaded the groceries onto the thing. The guy is checking them out. And Benny is like, keeps being like, mom, poop, poop. And I'm like, Benny, you don't have to poop. We're going to be home in 5 minutes. It's fine. Which now in retrospect, when I tell this story, I'm like, it's probably never a good idea to just tell your toddler they don't have to poop. Like just even if he says it 1,000 times, just take him back there. Yeah, like that's the deal. So I learned that lesson. But so he was like holding onto the cart really tight and like looked really nervous. And I was watching him and I was like, Benny, just hold it. We're going to be done in 2 seconds. Just hold it. Okay. Can you hold it? And he's like, no, he's like shaking his head at me going, and I'm like, no, you can't hold it. And it, you know, it's like he can communicate really well, but it's so hard to tell what is true.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, I can't hold it. And I'm like, okay, do you want to run back to the bathroom? And I'm like, just speaking quietly. Cause like the guy's there, you know, checking out our groceries. And suddenly Benny makes this face. Like he just looks like, like his eyes get big. He stops moving and he's just like standing perfectly still. And I'm like, Benny, what just happened? And he's just looking at him like he can't move. And I'm like, Benny, did you just poop in your pants? Or in your shorts? And he just like nods. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. And I like, and I don't have the bag. We're in the checkout. So it's not like I can just run away. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? And it's just one of those moments where you're like, there's no good solution here. Like he has poop in his pants. I have nothing. I'm surrounded by strangers. I'm in a public place. Like, what do you do? Like, what would you do in that moment? Would you like pick him up and run out of the store? I feel like you would just scream and like pick him up and run away.
I think it would probably be like, I would probably say something like, oh fuck. And I would just pick him up and walk away. Just I'm out. Bye.
Okay. And then let's talk through how that would go for you. Because what I did was I was like, okay, no big deal. And I sort of like felt in his shorts and it felt like solid, you know? So I was like, okay, that's good. At least like maybe it'll just stay in there. And so I was like, okay, Benny, I'm going to pick you up and just put you in the cart so that I can just drive you out of here in the cart. Just don't move. Just stand in the cart. Because it seemed, you know, it seemed like standing still in the back of the cart was working fine for him. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to put you here. Just don't move. And it works. Like I pick him up, I put him in the cart, nothing happens. And I'm like, oh, it'll just stay. It's like stuck to him somehow. It'll just stay there. The guy finishes checking out. I pay, whatever. And then he like moves slightly and the poop falls out of his shorts into the cart.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm at the grocery store and there's poop in the cart. And so I think if you picked him up and tried to run away, I think it would have fallen out of his shorts. I think he would have just left it there and ran away.
I think it would have fallen out while I was trying to run out of the store with him.
Yeah, because you wouldn't and even then say I would have to the stopped. Checkout guy. They would be like, what happened?
Everybody would be looking at me like, what's he doing? And then the poop would fall out onto the floor and I would stop and I would look at it and I would probably say like, oh, fuck. And then I think I would probably barehand the poop off the floor and run out.
And then we'd never be able to go back to the grocery store again.
Absolutely. But that's what I just see what my brain would tell me to do.
I know. And and part of me was like I was so close to making those decisions because I was like, I just got to get out of here. But then it's like, you're in this weird, like, you still don't want to be rude. And you're like, at least if something crazy is happening, I don't want people to like not know what happened because then they're going to think it's worse. Although like, what's worse than this? Not much at the grocery store. So anyway, the poop falls out of the cart and I'm like, okay. Like there's just no avoiding this. Like this is happening. Yeah. And so I say to the grocery guy who's been super nice. He's been like talking to Benny and saying he's cute and stuff. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. We are potty training right now. My son just had an accident. It was poop. And now there's poop in the cart. And I was like, every step of that sentence, you could just see his face falling where he was just like, how bad is this going to be for me right now? Like, what is my role in this situation? Yeah. And he was just like, where are you? Like just totally still, not moving. Like, where are we going with this right now? You know, like, what journey are we about to go on together? And I just said, I'm so sorry. I left our bag in the car. I don't even have wipes or anything. Like, do you have something I can use to pick it up? And it's like, it was just such a surreal moment where it's like, you never think that you would even be able to have that conversation with a stranger.
Yes.
But it's like, everything's happening in slow. It's like trauma. It's like, there is like a horrible traumatic thing happening to me right now.
Yeah.
And all I can do is just sort of like push my way through it one step at a time. And so all I'm thinking is like, okay, well, there can't just be poop in the cart. So I have to get it out of the cart. So I'm just like logistically.
Listen to me, guy who normally chit chats with old ladies trying to explain the difference between American animation and manga. Listen, we got a situation here. There is shit in this shopping cart and I am appealing to you on a human level. I know you don't know me and I don't know you. We're not friends. We're not going to know each other after this, but I need you to help me.
It's like suddenly we found ourselves in like a disaster situation. And I was like, we just got to band together and solve this, man. I don't know. So he was like, oh my God. Okay. Like clearly panicking, but he was like, okay, here you go. Like he gave me paper towels and some cleaning stuff. Again, luckily the poop was solid. So I was able to pick it up mostly. And then he gave me even like a little bag to put it in. And he was like, do you want me to? And I was like, I'll take it. Don't worry about it. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, why are you worried about me taking this poop? Like this is my kid's poop. I think I said something to him about how like I'm a mom, so I'm always covered in poop or something. I don't even know what I said, but I was just like, this is not about me. Like, don't worry about me right now.
Yeah.
And so I got the poop cleaned up and he said, I just kept thanking him profusely and being like, thank you so much. And Benny felt so bad. Like Benny looked really like, I think kind of embarrassed and he felt bad and he could tell that me and the guy were worried about it. And I just kept saying, thank you for being so nice. Like, I really appreciate it. And he was like, oh my God, thank you for telling me, because he was like, my biggest nightmare is that that kind of thing's going to happen. And then someone's just going to leave it in the cart and leave the cart in the parking lot. And I'm like, does that happen? And he's like, the craziest shit happens here. You would not believe it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then, you know, when I was leaving, I was like, okay, sorry. Thanks again. I hope this is the craziest thing that happens to you today. And he was like, you know, I think it might be. And I was like, okay, leaving. And then I just had to, and Benny's still standing there with like some poop in his shorts, you know? And so I just pushed him out in the cart. He's just like holding on, trying not to move. And I was sort of like, just kind of reassuring him because I didn't want him to be traumatized. And I was like, it's okay. It happens. We had an accident. You're good. Like you did the right thing. You were telling me you had to poop. I'm sorry I didn't get you there in time. You know, just trying to be like, that's on me. That's not on you that happened. Yeah. And then when we got to the car, you know, I cleaned his little butt, put a diaper on him and got in the car and it was fine. And I do think the point of this story is if I can get through that, I can get through literally anything.
Yeah.
I don't know that there will ever be something more embarrassing that will happen to me in my life. I guess me pooping my pants would have been more embarrassing, but then I wouldn't have had to tell anybody.
Yeah.
But I, you know.
Yeah.
That was a rough day in my life. Yeah. That was rough. And we have friends who have a kid who's from Benny's class who's the same age, and I was texting her about it and she was like, "Oh my God, that's so crazy. Like, we're having such a weird poop day," because she was like, "This morning our daughter got in bed with us and she, like, had something in her hand, and she showed it to my husband and he was like, "What's in your hand?" And it was like a little perfect ball of poop that she had been playing with.
Oh my God.
Yeah, in their bed. And she was like, "Where did that come from?" And I was like, any answer to where that came from is horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, either she just pooped herself, or a worse situation is she pooped herself a long time ago and she's been hiding that poop somewhere.
I think I would start throwing up. I would just start gagging.
Well, that's the other, like, the potty training has been surprisingly, like, visceral to me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you would think parents are totally, like, not, you know, freaked out by poop at this point.
Yeah.
But when you've got a kid who's just pooping like a human poop in a little potty,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to pour that into the big toilet,
yeah.
and then you have to clean that thing
yeah.
with your hands. Like, you yeah. just have to clean that. Like, as adults, we are used to poop just going in the toilet and then disappearing.
Yes.
And now you're like, or into a diaper and then disappearing.
Yeah.
And this is this weird middle ground where you're like, suddenly I have the logistics of, like, I'm just walking
around the house with a plastic cowboy hat full of poop,
yeah.
and I got to clean it out with a stick? What do I use?
I know. And I feel like nobody really knows the right way to clean that thing.
No.
But there were multiple times where I was doing that and I was gagging and almost threw up.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is not right.
Yeah. This is, you know, I have been, like, kind of like had this feeling through this whole thing. Not, I guess not just the potty training, but just through, having a kid mm-hmm. where, prior to having a kid, I was not someone who was very, like, cool with bodily function stuff.
I know, me neither.
Just very, like,
yeah.
out of sight and out of mind. That's
yeah.
not my thing, you know? But I have been forced to confront that in yeah. such a, you know, like you said, visceral way on a daily basis, in a way that I think if I thought about it ahead of time, I would not even be able to picture myself in that scenario.
I know, you can't fathom it.
Yeah. And now it's just like, you know, I mean, and it hasn't, because we're potty training, this hasn't happened for a while, but, you know, there are, like, mornings where it's like, "Oh, my son's awake. Let's go see what's going on. Oh, there's shit everywhere." There's just shit everywhere. And it's not even going to raise my blood pressure. I'm yeah. just,
you're just like, all right, this is what we're doing now.
All right. Roll the sleeves up and start cleaning up all this shit that's everywhere.
And what about that time he pooped in the tub?
That was
a low point for you.
That was, yeah, I think that was because I was here by myself too. Mm-hmm. You were out of town. Yeah. Let me just defend myself a little bit. I do take care of our son
frequently. I travel a lot
by
work,
myself.
Yeah.
So I'm not just riding my motorcycle around with a pack of smokes rolled up in my sleeve, you know, talking about how I got some kid somewhere, I think, you know, I am here with him. I take care of him. I keep him alive. And one of those moments was I was giving him a bath and he pooped in the bathtub, which up until that moment was my biggest fear.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know where we go after that.
Yep. And then you got through it and now it's not your biggest fear anymore.
Yeah. I don't think he'll do it ever again probably, but yeah, wow.
We've also had, I mean, so many times where one of us is home alone with him and he's sick and we're trying to give him Tylenol and we have to force it on him and then he pukes everywhere. Like, that's mm-hmm. happened, I don't know, four or five times.
Yeah. Yeah. Those moments get ugly.
I've since learned, for anyone else who's struggling with that, what's the rule? If they have a dangerously high fever, just take them to the emergency room.
Yeah.
If they have just a normal fever, like 102 or whatever, they don't need the Tylenol. And what my mom said, which I really resonated with me, was like, if he's sick enough, he won't fight taking medicine. Like, he'll be too weak to do it. So yeah. like, if he's fighting it, he's okay. He doesn't need it. And Tylenol only reduces the fever. It doesn't fix the thing that's causing the fever. So now when he's sick, I offer it to him, but I just think we shouldn't force it. I think that was a mistake we were making because we felt like we were bad parents if we didn't get him the Tylenol yeah. to make him feel better.
Well, the last time that happened, you were out of town. The
no,
last
I
time
thought the
I recall
last time you
happening.
Were out of town and I had him. Remember he threw up on me over there?
Well, there was one of the last times that I recall being involved myself, you were out of town and I was here and his nanny was here. And
oh, yeah.
He had a fever that was so high that I thought we were going to have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I was sort of panic calling everyone, your mom.
Did it get up
you.
To 104? I think it did briefly.
It was over 104 briefly for like a few minutes maybe. And I was panicking and I was doing anything I could to get him to take the Tylenol to break his fever. And that was the time that the following day his nanny called in and said that she couldn't come to work because her hamster had to get an emergency hysterectomy.
That was the hamster thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, well, and you said it was because you were really freaking her out.
And she showed her hand a little bit after that insane excuse because she came back and was just like, oh yeah, that was just like really crazy with my hamster yesterday. By the way, if Benny's ever sick again, I can't be here.
Yeah. Which is fair. She's like she's a young person who's just watching a kid. Like she doesn't want to deal with life or death situations or you in a panic situation.
If there's any young people out there right now who are listening to this for some reason, I can't imagine why you would, but if you're a young person and you're curious and you're listening to this and you need one lesson to take away from this episode, don't say that your hamster needs an emergency hysterectomy if you need to come up with an excuse for something.
Not a great excuse, but I think she really did.
Just say, I'm sick.
I think both are true. I think her hamster did need an emergency hysterectomy, and I think she just loved her hamster a weird amount.
Yeah. That is crazy to me. I would, if my hamster needed a hysterectomy, I would ask you to walk over to that trash can and step on the pedal so that I can whip the hamster at the wall over the trash can. Well, watch it fall in. Nice. Don't care.
We like animals and we're nice to animals. Actually, you love animals.
I do. I love animals.
Okay. I have to go pick up our son, but I hope that this was helpful. If you are a parent and you're going through potty training or about to be or whatever.
Yeah.
It's hard, but like everything else in parenting, it's hard for a brief period of time. If you haven't read Oh Crap, I highly recommend it. It really made me feel prepared for that situation.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad if what you want to do is send your husband away, because that worked well for me. And if you don't have a kid yet and you're listening to this episode to get a sense of what it's like to be a parent, just do what Eric would like you to do and just think long and hard about whether this is the level of exposure you want to have to someone else's poop.
Yeah. Cross some other things off the list before you have a kid.
Maybe travel a little.
Indoor skydiving.
Try a hobby.
You know?
Focus on your career.
Learn a foreign language.
Try some drugs.
Definitely.
Whatever.
Try some drugs and then go indoor skydiving.
Yeah. Whatever you want. Just enjoy your life.
Yeah. Because one day you're just going to be in the grocery store and there's going to be shit everywhere and you're going to be locked in a gaze.
And the worst part is going to be that's just another day. You'll just say, okay, that's what we're doing today, I guess. Yep. All right, I gotta go pick up our son.
Okay, that was fun.
See you later.
Bye-bye.